Welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio. This is where, of course, we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lum. And of course, on today's show, we have Jim Potemra, specialist from the Hawaii Institute of Geophysics and Planetology, co-investigator at PAC-IUS, and that stands for Pacific Island Ocean Observing System. Hey, Jim, I want to thank you for joining me on Bite Marks Cafe.
It's my pleasure. Thanks, Bert.
And, you know, I've had you on before. I was looking, and it's probably like maybe like several, gosh, might have been more than a decade ago.
Yep.
I mean, you know, we've been going on for 18 years. So, you know, there's a lot of folks I've talked to and stories we've helped to tell. But I did want to have you come back on because, you know, it has been a while, and I wanted to give folks a chance to kind of re-familiarize themselves with, you know, PAC-IUS and what it is that you folks do. So, you know, maybe what you can start off with is, you know, give us a quick kind of, like elevator pitch. Like, what does PAC-IUS do?
Sure. So PAC-IUS is actually considered a regional association,
mm-hmm.
and there are 11 of these throughout the U.S., focusing on different regions. So PAC-IUS focuses on the Pacific Islands, mostly the U.S.-affiliated territories. So that includes, of course, Hawaii, but also American Samoa, Guam, CNMI, Micronesia, FSM, and Marshall Islands. And so we have a pretty wide region, and most of the funding comes from NOAA, the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration.
Mm-hmm.
And our basic charge is to provide ocean information to users. And users is kind of a wide catch-all. And we also collect data. So it's sort of an end-to-end operation where we're collecting observations, we're making data-driven products, and we're pushing them out to users.
Mm-hmm. And you talk about a pretty wide swath of the Pacific Islands,
yep.
of the Pacific. What is it? Can you describe a little bit about what the, you know, let's say the sensor arrays look like around, whether it's the Marshall Islands or any of the territories, or I think you even go so far as, like you said, American Samoa and Republic of Palau, right?
Right, that's correct. I think certainly by web hits, our most popular asset would be wave buoys. So we these are bottom moored instruments that measure wave heights, and people in Hawaii are well familiar with looking at wave buoys. We have an array throughout the Pacific, and this grew over the past 10 years from really being Hawaii-centric to now we've got coverage throughout the Pacific. So that's our number one asset by wave hits for sure.
Mm-hmm.
We also have what we call nearshore sensors. These are instruments that measure temperature, salinity, pressure, so that would give you sea level. And another, while not technically an observation, we run a huge array of numerical models. So we provide forecasts of waves, ocean currents, and atmospheric conditions
mm-hmm.
for all those regions.
Now, would you and your sensors kind of be leveraged as a result of, let's say, an earthquake that could result in a tsunami? Do the wave buoys pick up that? And is that something that would be a product that you folks would produce?
Yes and no.
Okay.
So our wave buoys are more capturing the wind-driven waves, so the kind you'd surf on, but also the kind that could be destructive in storm events.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, you know, with tsunamis, we do tap into the national network of sea level. And so one of our biggest tools is a web-based mapper that we call Voyager. And so if you go to the PAC-IUS website, pacius.org, and you look at the viewer, you can pull out the real-time information from these sea level stations around the rim of the Pacific and see. And that was, you know, a very popular ask during the recent Alaska tsunami threat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I should caution, you know, users really ought to pay attention to NOAA, National Weather Service, Tsunami Warning Center
mm-hmm.
for that information. I mean, this is sort of an interesting thing to look at, but definitely not something you want to look at in terms of, you know, should you evacuate or things like that. You know, we're not a official federal warning center.
Right. I mean, there's, yeah, you're right. I mean, there's agencies that is their kind of like sole purpose.
Correct.
And you're more of a sort of a general information observing, you know, sensing data kind of service. So the analysis is really the result of some of these more specialized agencies kind of doing some of that analysis.
Yeah, that's right.
And so, you know, you mentioned something about, you know, web tools. Are these typically tools on your website that any of your typical user would be, accessing? And is this a paid for service, or they pretty much can access it for free?
Yeah, so everything is free from PacIUs, and all of our data are available in real time at no cost. We have no tracking in terms of like asking for registrations or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple different ways that we do this. At the core level, we run what we call data services. So that's sort of direct binary access to all of our data streams.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a web developer or an app developer, you could pull in our information into your app. And for example, if you wanted to develop an app for surf conditions, you could get our buoy data into your app through a direct binary access. We use something called OpenDAP, but it's basically just a transfer protocol that gives you access to data. We also have online viewers. I mentioned Voyagers as being one. And on Voyager, you can make overlays. You basically click on different products and say, hey, I want to see the forecast of wave height for tomorrow. You could do that. We have our wave buoys are there, our water quality sensors are there. All of our instruments are basically on this mapper. And then the third thing I'll mention is we develop custom-made tools, I guess you'd call them. One example is the group here at PacIU has developed this sea level rise viewer for American Samoa. We did one for the state of Hawaii as well, and that's been hugely popular. And basically that pulls in a lot of GIS layers that we have, layers from the state GIS office, but also some of the data that we collect into a custom-made application that's web-based.
Mm-hmm. Now, I do want to have you maybe share a little bit about who some of your, let's say, primary users or the type of user that would go to the site, download data, probably have some mechanism of creating a regular stream, because I would imagine that this data is being generated on a real-time basis. So they're receiving the data, they're generating an app, they're doing some analysis. I'd like to have you kind of describe who that user might be on, in Hawaii, and perhaps who are their equivalents in, let's say, the Marshall Islands or in, Guam or Saipan or American Samoa. So I want to hold that thought. We'll be right back after a short break to continue our conversation with Jim Potemra. He's from PacIUs, the Pacific Island Ocean Observing System. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors Ulupono Initiative and Ruby Tuesday Hawaii.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR 1. And I'm Bert Lum. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Jim Potemra. He's a specialist over at the Hawaii Institute of Geophysics and Planetology and a co-investigator over at PacIUs, which is the Pacific Island Ocean Observing System. And right before the break, you know, we were talking, Jim, about, the users and these users. I think, you were talking about downloading data, creating apps. Who are you? How would you describe your typical user? Are they in the business? Are they perhaps creating something that they feel that their, let's say, user base would be interested in? What are the characteristics of the users that might be really interested in taking your data and doing some analysis for the benefit of their, you know, clients?
Yeah, right. So I think early on, when we first started developing PacIEs, we kind of divided the user base into broad categories. And one was scientific research. So we do get a lot of scientific researchers around the region who pull in data and use it for some sort of study. So one of the assets that we have is tracking animals, for example, in the ocean. Mm-hmm. And there could be a scientist in, let's say, Guam or Palau that's interested in using this and mapping it alongside you know, some satellite observations or some other measurements that they've made. We also have users that are at the government, either federal, state, local level.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the examples of this is we have an instrument that was developed here at the University of Hawaii by Professor Pierre Flamont, which is a high-frequency radio. It's basically a phased array that sweeps across, it sends a signal that goes out on the ocean surface and measures surface currents.
Mm-hmm.
And this information is used by the U.S. Coast Guard in their search and rescue operations. So it's part of their operational data pathway, if you will. So the federal users that we know of, that the U.S. Coast Guard is obviously one. National Weather Service is another one. They pull in a lot of our observations to assimilate into their forecast models. And we have some other, you know, Navy and NOAA operations going on in the region.
Mm-hmm.
The last, and there's other categories, but I do want to highlight a third one, and that's what we'd call just sort of general ocean users. You know, fishers, swimmers, surfers, what have you, people that use the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is where we get a lot of the sort of the compelling testimonies, if you will, about the data, because, you know, scientists are pretty good about getting data from wherever it exists. But, you know, if somebody wants to go down to the beach and go swimming today, you know, they're not going to be looking at some high-level thing. They want a basically an app that tells them, is it going to be okay to go in the water today?
Mm-hmm.
And so those kind of users, it's a little bit harder to track because the only time I hear about it, so I should have said up front that my specific role within PacIEs is with the data management. So when our systems have issues, I'll hear from users. And that's really the only time that I know about these cases, unless we get, you know, sometimes people will email and say, hey, your product is great. Like, I went out, you know, fishing off the Kona coast, and I used your forecast model or whatever, and it really helped me. But most of the time, it's somebody will email and say, hey, I surf at this spot, and I look at your buoy every morning, and I went today, and I couldn't find it. And so we're right now, if you go to our website, and again, it's pacaius.org, we do have a pop-up that is at the top looking for statements of support. And this is another way that we're trying to get some idea of the users and the benefits of this, because, you know, at the end of the day, we're federally funded, and we are going up for renewal. And so we're trying to demonstrate that, you know, our purpose is to provide ocean information to users. And we like to say, like, yeah, we're doing that. And here are some of the testimonies that show that we are successful.
So, you know, over the last several weeks, we've had, you know, these pretty major rain situations that have perhaps pushed the limit of the sewer system. And you always hear about, you know, having to release X million gallons of raw sewage into the, you know, into the water. I mean, does any of your sensors sort of provide any indication of levels of, let's say, bacteria or, you know, how levels of I don't know, you know, if it would be referred to as clarity of the water, you know, as a result of some of the rain and the drainage is occurring into the ocean. And would somebody, you know, kind of create an app that kind of gives an indication based on your data? I would think that would be a really useful app to check out. And let me just preface this by saying, oftentimes, you know, we would just rely on the news, right? And the news would say, oh, you know, X million of gallons of sewage, you know, went into the Alawai or something, you know, and then, okay, right, well, right. That's okay, that's how we were informed. But, you know, is there an app that actually can, you know, somebody's going to a beach and, you know, there's buoys that can, or there's, you know, some sensing device that can give a sense of how, you know, much contaminants have gone into that water. Is that something that data from Pacayus would be able to inform, and then somebody could actually build an app that does that?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there's a lot of different aspects to this point, which I think is great. So I mentioned that we run forecast models. So one of the forecast models we run is an ocean model at very high resolution for the South Shore, and this is done by Professor Brian Powell, who's in the Oceanography Department. Mm-hmm. And every day they provide what they call a plume forecast. So basically, it's this is all numeric, but if you imagine, you know, dropping a die into the Alawai in your numerical model, this model will show you where that die propagates out into the ocean. So that's one thing that obviously the Alawai is a key, you know, source for the South Shore. You can see where that would go from the model. And then we do have our in situ measurements that measure, for example, the turbidity, the cloudiness, if you will, of the water. The other thing that we've been able to do within, because of the PacGIUS data system that we have established, we're able to pull in other information. So the city and county does monitor the beaches for harmful bacteria. The one issue here is it takes a while. So they'll measure it today, and they'll get a result maybe 48 hours later. So it's not a forecast, but it would tell you, unfortunately, like, hey, if you were in the water 2 days ago, you might have been exposed to enterococcus or something like that. But I think that the important thing for PacGIUS is all of this is available through the same data services and viewer that we have online. So it's basically, you know, one site to go to where you can get all this information rather than having to, like, oh, I'll go here to see what the, you know, the tide was, and I'll go here to see what the enterococcus level was, and I'll go here to see what the wave was. You know, it's all in one place. And you know, the last thing that I wanted to say, which is sort of a hidden benefit of all of this, is we are primarily based out of the University of Hawaii, so we do have the power of a lot of really smart researchers here on campus. So if people come to the site and they have a question, they can just email info@PacGIUS and say, ask a question just like you did, like, hey, it's been raining a lot. Is it safe to swim at this beach? And then we can, if we can't answer it directly, we can certainly find somebody that could. So, you know, in that sense, we're providing ocean information not through data services and not through web viewers, but through connection with subject matter experts.
Well, you know, I got to figure that over the course of the time that, you know, I've known about PacGIUS, I mean, the access to your data and information has got to be increasing, right? Or increased quite a bit, because in the beginning, I mean, it was kind of a new thing. But over the course of like the last 10 years, I would imagine that it's pretty popular and accessible website.
Yeah, we've gone through a couple of versions of the website, and I did, you know, I did look back at you know, from when last time we were on your program with you, and that was when we were first getting started. We are now, you know, we're serving, you know, maybe 20 terabytes of data every day through direct binary access. That would have been a dream 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And our data holdings now are close to a half a petabyte, so that's 500 terabytes of data that we have. Most of that is numerical model output. But we also reserve, if you will, satellite products, for example. These are extremely sought after in the Pacific Islands. So NASA will generate, you know, images of sea surface temperature from a satellite, but you have to download some kind of obscure format, or you get the whole globe, And if you're in a bandwidth limited area like Micronesia or, you know, somewhere else in the Pacific, you just can't do it. And so what our data services do is pull in these satellite images, mm-hmm. satellite data, and allow users to subset it very quickly and just get the data that they need for their region.
Ah, I see. Now, I do want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about, you know, the support that you're looking for. I know that, you know, there's been kind of a request by PACAUs for people to show their support. And I also want to give you a chance to tell us how, you know, you're faring in the current kind of like funding environment that we're in. So we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back after this short break to continue our conversation with Jim Potemra from PACAUs, the Pacific Island Ocean Observing System. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, whose contributors help Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Honolulu Waldorf School.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lum right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR 1. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Jim Potemra. He's a specialist over at the Hawaii Institute of Geophysics and Planetology and co-investigator over at PACAUs, the Pacific Island Ocean Observing System. And right before the break, I wanted to give Jim a chance to talk a little bit about, you know, the not only the things that you folks do, but now to sort of rally some support for PACAUs. And in the current, you know, sort of funding environment, I mean, how would you describe what PACAUs now has to do?
Yeah, thanks. So I'll start with, you know, so if people go to our website now, they'll see a little pop-up that says, help us demonstrate the value of PACAUs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to ask for money or anything like that. It's just a statement that says, I find these data and tools useful, if not necessary, for my business or, you know, my activities or whatever. And we're doing that because most of our funding comes from NOAA. We have traditionally worked on 5-year grants, and the cycle is coming up right now. So our group here is working on a proposal that fortunately the notice of opportunity came out. So the IU's regional associations looks like they are going to be accepting proposals to renew,
mm-hmm.
which is great news.
Yeah.
It's going to be a 5-year award, we hope. And while we write our proposal, we can put in a lot of statistics about you know, data transfers and the number of instruments that we have and the uptime and all the sort of traditional metrics. But I think what really helps sell things, so to speak, is by showing, you know, here are users that find our product useful.
Mm-hmm.
And it, as I alluded to earlier, you know, a lot of times you don't really know. There are a lot of, like, cool stories for sure that come out, but sometimes we just don't know. And, you know, if we get people that click on and say, yeah, I use it to, you know, when I go to the beach, or I'm running an aquaculture farm or whatever, all of that will help us demonstrate the value of what we're doing. And it's just another way to sort of solidify that this is a worthwhile activity. And I guess, you know, the hope is that if you're developing a good product, and, you know, it will be reviewed well.
Mm-hmm. And are you competing with the other IUs that are out there?
That's a good question. I'm not sure exactly how that works inside the federal government, but all of the regions are currently writing proposals to continue their activity.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that, for example, the Alaska Ocean Observing System, AUs, would come in and say, you know, we need twice as much money and PACAUs should get nothing. I think it's more like everyone's trying to work together because we all have this great collaboration going on. And we do actually make cross boundary. I mean, obviously there's Alaska, there's Northwest Pacific, there's Central California. There's a bunch of IU's regional associations on the Pacific that work together to do these co-generated products. So I think we all work together to try and make sure that the funding is there for everyone.
Well, that's great. That's great. And, you know, could a general, you know, ocean enthusiast still show some support by filling out the form?
Absolutely. We're trying to get these things in. I think the deadline is Sunday, the 22nd. So there's still a couple days to do that.
Okay, great, great. And you know, what are some of the things that you're looking for on the form to show that support?
So the form itself will it has a little description about what PacIUS does, mm-hmm. who our stakeholders are, and then there's some bullet points. For example, you know, we believe that safety is a universal right and everybody has the right to safety when they go in the water, mm-hmm. and information is a public trust and things like that. And then it just asks for an email, your name, if you're representing yourself or an organization, and then essentially what you're doing with our data and where you come from. And, you know, it who knows what will come out of this. You know, we might find people in, I don't know, Kwajalein that are using our wave buoy to develop an app, and how awesome would that be?
Mm-hmm.
But it also will add it to our portfolio to say these are all the people that are using our data.
No, that's good. And as a general user, I mean, even if you're looking at, let's say you were describing, you know, that sort of plume data and how, you know, let's say contaminants might spread through the ocean. Even that could be sort of transcribed into, you know, using the data, right? And you can add that to the form and just show that, you know, that a general user has the use of the data and can show the support for PacIUS. And I think it would go a long way for, you know, your response to your NOFO.
Yeah, absolutely. And I should also point out that the form, there's an option if you want your name to be on there, it mm-hmm. can be, but it doesn't have to be. You can be a totally anonymous testimony if you want. And the other nice thing, I think, about the form is the people that fill it out have an opportunity to provide suggestions about how we can improve, and which I think is great. I mean, we do hear from users that say, hey, it would be nice if you could provide this kind of, you know, plot or, you know, these kind of data.
You know, I'll put that up on our show notes. Where can people go and find out more information?
Sure. So our website is PacIUS.org. That's PacIOOS.org.
Very good. Jim Potemra is a specialist over at the Hawaii Institute for Geophysics and Planetology, co-investigator at PacIUS, the Pacific Island Ocean Observing System. Hey, Jim, I want to thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much, Bert.
And thank you for listening to Bite Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we'll talk about an underwater data center. If you miss any part of this edition, you can find the podcast of tonight's show on bitemarkscafe.org. Our engineer is David Chong. You can catch us on HPR One every Friday or anytime via the HPR app or your favorite podcast application. Hey, in the meantime, you stay safe, you stay dry, stay awesome. We'll see you next week on another edition of Bite Marks Cafe.